Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John and this is episode 79 of the Van Hemlock Podcast.
You know how with money, when you get into billions of billions, you can't really comprehend mentally how many that is?
Yeah.
79 is where it happens with podcast episodes for me.
It's all just, they're all just disappearing into this vast blur now, are they?
Yeah.
Well, hello, here we are again. And it's a What We're Playing show.
Which is lucky, because we've been playing games.
Absolutely. Shall I start?
Or do
you
want to
start?
Yeah, go on,
I'll start. Okay. Well, let's start with Lord of the Rings, then. It's all gotten a bit better, hasn't it?
Yes! We stopped asking around with the plot and did something fun.
We found out where
the fun went.
Yes, I know. Well, last week's interview with Harry Hole there, that we were talking a lot about their future directions and stuff. I think they're generally aware of it, but we found things to do, didn't we?
Yeah.
So there was the week when half of us had rage quit and forgot to turn up and things.
Taking a week out.
Yeah, we should have made it clear on Twitter that it was only you that was taking the week out, because poor old Ed didn't realise we were not playing. Anyway, we had the... me and James turned up, because we're basically masochists. We were discussing this quite extensively and decided that we're basically gluttons for punishment. So we actually did do a little bit more of the story, but mostly it was in Goblin Town. We went to go and get 8 gems from Goblin Town.
Goblin Town.
Yeah, stop that. And... Okay. We got those 8 gems within the first eight fights inside the entrance, but we were so frustrated with the whole wandering around and travelling that we just went and just rampaged all the way through Goblin Town and cleared the whole thing, so that was quite good. It's become quite a cathartic release mechanism for us, actually. Every time we have to do some really tedious travel and exposition, we then go to Goblin Town and take it out on the goblins, which is quite unfortunate, really.
Goblins.
Oh no, they're coming again! Yeah, everybody hide, all that. And then after that we went and did, I think it's the school, it was that 3-man instance, we actually did that, Matt showed up as well, and we actually cleared it. It was quite hard work. Very small though, I like it. It was a very good self-contained short experience. You can just drop in and go and have a quick rampage through. 3-man, mandatory team, you can't take any more in on the party. And yeah, basically it's just 2 rooms really, with some stairs connecting them, and a couple of wandering patrols and a series of boss fights. Some quite interesting things they do. One of the uber bosses there, he seems to be immune to melee, or at least has massive damage reduction against sword attacks.
I recommend arrows and magic.
Well, there was me as a guardian, and we had a champion, and we were both just wailing on it to no effect. And poor old Matt, as our roomkeeper, was doing his usual Dr. Zoidberg frantic, running around shooting lightning and panicking greatly. But we managed to get it in the end. It took a couple of resurrects, but not a complete wipe, which was good.
That's good.
I think there's another boss at the other end who's more or less immune to magic, and he just went down very, very quickly, because there's nothing like a beard of fury in your face to deal with magic immunity. So we cleared that. We got to go at the little chest at the end. I actually quite respect it. I mean, it's a shame it is 3 players and not 6, but something of that size and that self-contained short pacing would be great, you know, to just keep doing those sorts of things. Perhaps that's what Moria is about. Perhaps that's what future Siege of Mirkwood stuff's going to be about.
Possibly.
Rather than these massive 4-hour grinds just to get to the key so that you can start in the middle next time, that sort of thing. Just a series of much smaller self-contained activities, I think would suit us better, certainly, because of our available play times and so on. Apparently there's another 3-man there. Is it the school and the library? And I don't know which we did or which one we still need to do. But definitely a good fallback, I think, for weeks when you haven't got your whole team there, or if you've only got a short amount of time to try something. That's all quite
good.
Yeah. Then the other week we did Urugarath again, because we're working on our class shopping lists still. That's our big... presumably all the other classes get something similar, but I have these 2 pages, which are basically very long shopping lists.
Yeah, we all have those.
Yeah, 2...
Taking up 2 inventory slots.
Exactly, and the rest, because of all the rare bits you need as well. I mean, I managed to finish one of them, totally, in the end. Yeah. Got all my pristine Drake scales in the end, so that completed that one. The other one I still need to some bits from, I think, the main Khan Dom instance, so we may have to go back again.
Yeah, I still need to.
I'm guessing much of the rest of the Fellowship still needs bits there, but they are worth doing because James actually managed to finish his, and the third, you finish both of those, you get a third thing that unlocks a class trait.
Yay!
So I'm glad we still kept with them because it turns out they are actually going to be useful. So we're probably going to keep working at those over the coming weeks. And then we did this battle for Orcair. Very good. Very.
That was fun.
I enjoyed that.
30-minute time limit. I like that.
Yeah.
This is going to take you 30 minutes whether or not you succeed or not.
Yeah, exactly. You get to these from Gath Forthnir up in Angmar, and there's a guy standing outside with some banners and some rings over his head, and basically it just takes you off to this instance to copy of the outskirts of Orcair. And, yeah, you have to basically defend three sections of the fence and the back gate from waves of incoming monsters. There's a lot of charging about. We're all, yep. all mounted up on cavalry, weren't we, in the end?
Yeah.
It's the easiest, best way to get between the various points.
Four points we had to run between, although yeah. we didn't actually use one.
And they all get attacked in various sequence. I don't know if that's random or a set thing.
I assume it's random.
I'm guessing it's random, yeah. So you've got to be on the ball, you've got to move about. And there were sometimes two get attacked at once, which yep. means you have to be split your forces a bit and be careful with... Well, what we did in the end was end up dragging most of the mobs from one to the other fight.
One big fight's better than two smaller fights.
Well, one where we're all in the same place, yeah. And we did well, we succeeded, we did it. So that was good. You get victory tokens for doing those, and if you get enough of those, you can swap them for some quite powerful jewellery items, some of which, I think most of which, enhance one of your virtue traits as well as the big stats. So probably worth working on those a bit more. There's three of those. We've only done the Orcair one at the moment. There's another one in Runenlad or wherever that is, and another one that hasn't even unlocked yet. So presumably you need to do one of each before the third one will unlock. And then you get all these various ribbons you can swap for decent gear. Again, it's 30 minutes self-contained little adventure. Ideal for fitting in a night where you've got so many people and so much time.
Yeah.
And I'm quite respect. Presumably they're more recent additions and perhaps an indication of the direction they're taking with the overall game, rather than the big long epic story stuff and the huge long dungeon crawls. A succession of these short run mini adventures that are all quite self contained. You know, half an hour's worth of gameplay and go for it. I really quite enjoyed that. So yes, overall I'm quite pleased with Lord of the Rings again. I think I've gotten over my tith.
Yes.
But
I'd agree with that.
I think we're going to keep playing with that. Not really advanced much of the story anymore, but you know, I don't really care, to be honest.
No. It's a shame.
Well, I will pick away at it in my spare time, and presumably we'll hit points where we do need a group eventually, and we'll have one on hand when we do need that. But
well, I know they'll have brought in the new stuff, so we don't by the time they do.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, some good times.
That made sense in my head.
Yeah. Let's see. There was Guild Wars. We did the Fisher of Woe, which is another one of these end game pay a platinum to go into this mega zone full of uber nastiness. Much easier, much more manageable than the Underworld, I think, if you're planning on taking your little gang into any of the endgame stuff. Start with the Fisher of Woe. That's I think that's the one you talk to the Avatar of Balthazar for, not the Avatar of Grenth. I made a bit of a mistake and got the wrong one at the start and we ended up in the Underworld again. It was just fantastic hearing the cries of dismay on TeamSpeak. No, sorry, my bad, talked to the wrong guy. Everyone resign. But yeah, we got... I mean, the Fisher of Woe is quite long. It's another one of these where you need 10... You have to complete 10 sub-quests to get the big payout. And I think we managed 7 of them. Our first attempt we wiped after the first 3, but because there was an escort mission, boo, that we didn't know about, and it all got a bit complicated and we got a bit overrun. But it was, you know, a testament to how interesting and fun it was that we decided to have a second go. And the second go, we did much better. We got about 7 of the subquests in and just ran out of time, really. I mean, you know, we weren't over our depth, out of our depth or wiped or anything. It was just getting very late. I'd say budget about 4 hours for the Fisher of Woe. I think we're going to try it again, but, you know, from a bit earlier on and see if we can get all the way through it. There's a little statue to be had for the Hall of Monuments, I think, and a box of goodies at the very end of it all. But good fun, yeah. I mean, it wasn't... I wouldn't say it was much noticeably harder than just the general Realm of Torment stuff in Nightfall, which you'd go through on your normal working through the campaign. You know, level 24 monsters and upwards, coming in quite large groups, but manageable. And, yeah, a much more realistic proposition than the Underworld, I think, if you're going to try those. We'll come back to the Underworld eventually again, I think. But yeah, a lot of good fun there. Also, I think we're working on alts as well, just... picking away at campaigns for our alts, getting people further through each campaign and unlocking those. Just so that I've always been clear that everyone ought to be able to get to every outpost on at least one character in our guild. But if you can get to every outpost with two characters, that gives you a choice. You know, it means you can then choose to try that particular challenge with a different character and vary the gameplay up a bit. So we've been working at that a bit as well. That's all quite good. City of Heroes, we're still working on the villains. I've switched over really from my gravity controller to my mind controller now, the circus freak gravity controller. It's fun. I mean, there's a lot of great comedy superpowers in there, but again, it's a lot more tricky. I mean, the fundamental difference is that they're both very similar. They're both the same archetype, but with different power sets and different variations. And one of them can hold people, but does not put them to sleep. So the other one does put them to sleep, and it's just much more controlled, much, much better in terms of group dynamics and so on. And also my mind controller has all the leadership buffs as well, which are basically team-wide toggles that improve everyone's stats in all areas, and that's much better suited to teamwork. I just feel a lot more in control with my mind controller than the gravity controller, which basically is about flinging people about everywhere, getting them really angry and then getting shot to death. So, yeah, bit of a swap over there, but still working out the villain stuff. We're in St. Marshall at the moment with the big giant casino district and the big pyramid and everything, working on various story missions there. Still picking through. I'm not sure how much longer that particular group, so I think we might be have a hiatus soon, if not already. One of our member is about to give birth, so...
today would be a week overdue.
Let me
just check messenger status.
I think she's likely to have more on her mind than tweeting updates, I don't know. To be honest, in that situation. But
I'm not entirely sure. I think that it's one of those opportunities to share.
I have this nightmarish vision of a TeamSpeak birth, but luckily I think that doesn't seem to be the plan.
No. I did ask her whether or not it was going to happen during your game.
Yeah, as well. So we might be taking a little bit of a break there, by necessity, I suppose, in City of Heroes, but, I don't know. I mean, I like the game, and I definitely like the people, obviously. That's the large motivator for much of my regular group nights. I'm just wondering if, you know, I don't know, it's City of Heroes seems quite formulaic at the moment, quite similar, quite samey, and there's a comfort in that, but also I still want to see new games and new things and get new places, you know, that sort of thing. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens after our little hiatus, if everyone's still keen on carrying on forward. Level 30 or so. 32, just about, I think, on my villain there. And once I get that villain to 50, I pretty much will have seen all of the game. But at the same time, the City of Rogues, the Going Rogue thing, isn't far off, which is essentially a whole other expansion and a whole new world to see and explore and new power sets and all that. So that may come at a timely time, or I may just want a bit more time off from it all. I don't know yet. We'll have to wait and see.
According to her messenger status, she's now plus 7 days overdue.
Right, thanks for that update. By the time you listen to this, etc. So there was that. There was DDO. Been doing more of that on the Fridays. It's all good fun. I'm having a lot of trouble with DDO. I mean, initially I thought it was just that it's a new city and, you know, I've got to learn my way around and it will be fine once I know it as well as I know, say, Rivendell or Paragon City or wherever. But I don't know. I mean, we play and we have a lot of fun and it's all good group dynamics and all the rest of it and enjoying it, but the actual subject matter, I'm having a lot of trouble picking out any particular memorable moments from the world and the game and the quests. That it doesn't appear to have any kind of overriding main narrative in the same way you do as LOTRO or Guild Wars as well, does very good at that. It is just basically turn up each week, jump down a succession of different manholes and go and beat up kobolds. And it's tremendous fun, but I'm not sure it makes much in the way of interesting podcast anecdotes. Although we did have a fantastic debark of an expedition the previous week.
Was Matt involved?
I can't remember. I think possibly yes.
Just checking.
No, well, one of our friends from Twitter there, Kudsnick2000, he turns out to be the leader of the Critical Mass DDO Guild.
Never heard of him.
That's the big guild of the massively
Oh, okay.
Massively website.
Yeah,
there.
I have actually heard of them, yes. Yeah, sorry, my mistake.
Yeah, Sean there is doing his Choose My Adventure feature in DDO, and they've made up a big guild to go with it all, and they're having a fantastic adventures and things. They play on different days to us, though, and different time zones as well, but Kootsnik, I think, is in Europe with
us. They did
us.
Actually check with me to see which day and what time they should play to avoid you.
Fair enough. So he's basically knows his DDO, a bit of a long-term player. He's got this newer character he's doing this all with, and he came along with us on the Friday, and I don't know if he's ever going to want to come with us again. We showed our typical Tuesday New Club style levels of competency. We entered this big jungle instance off of, I don't know, House Jocasta or something like that, the one with the halflings in. And there's a side door there that goes off into this jungle, and we're sent to find this halfling archaeologist with his little gang. And this whole zone is really dense jungle, full of invisible ambush enemies and is it bugbears or kobolds or ogres or something?
Those are having all valid monsters.
Yeah, having trouble with my monster manual there. And yeah, so the actual mission itself's not too bad, but there's a number of optional side objectives that are really quite hard work. One of them, we go into this doorway, into this ancient tomb, and Kootsnik's there, is keeping quiet. Oh, I don't want to spoil it for you. And yeah, okay, fair enough. Appreciate that.
Why are you standing at the back?
Yeah, he's at the back, giggling. In we go, and the whole blinking catacomb just erupts with spinning blades. And it took us like 4 or 5 goes to get everybody out, let alone get to the treasure or anything. It's like people rezzing at the wrong shrine, running through the spikes, dying, and trying to carry these soul stones. It's very much like, you know, you have the bag of grain, the fox and the chicken in a boat and a farm and a river. Yeah, it was a logic puzzle of that proportion, trying to get everyone's corpses out of there so that we could just be done with the thing. They're very unsporting in there. They put in treasure chests that are illusionary. Yeah, so you see this sparkling treasure chest at the end of a corridor, think, woo!
You hear Matt run off.
Go running in towards it, and whoosh, spikes everywhere. And even then, you manage to get through to the far side, and the thing's a dummy. No treasure. I was almost writing to my MP about it all, I really was. And then, at this same adventure, there's another thing. You get all these bits of something together, and you activate this portal, and there's a whirly that takes you to the other side. You go. Apparently, the rules are you have to all be in sneak mode before you go through the portal. I think one of us may not have been. It might have been me. And it's just wall-to-wall giants on the other side. They're all, like, 2 levels above us, because we were quite cocky with our selection of adventure for that night. And, they tend to one-hit with their big clubs, and it was just... Oh, it was just pandemonium. There's like 6 people all running around in all sorts of directions, screaming, trying to take the occasional pot shot at one of about 15 of these giants, all of which are single, you know, our party should attempt one at a time. It was just absolute chaos and mayhem, and I'm just quite mortified that I keep forgetting they have repair bells in there. I'm not sure I've lost any equipment yet, but it's been close. So quite an introduction to our way of rolling for Kootsnik there, but he came back the following week, so we can't have done that bad. Yeah, it's good fun, but I just having real trouble empathising or sort of identifying with the game itself, the world, the setting, the quests, the story, any of that. I just don't know what's going on or who or where, and don't really care a lot. It's good just rampaging around with 5 friends. That's pretty much the basis I'm playing it on at the moment.
We've actually had an email about DDO.
All right, yeah.
From Carmadil.
Okay.
He says, I've been listening to show 77.
Oh, right. A bit of feedback.
And your complaints about groupie and Lotro hit home with me.
Yeah.
Did you mention DDO being popular because of group content, or did I misunderstand?
You mentioned people want that kind of experience, and you said, when you were talking about DDO.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what did you mean by that, do you think?
Was it me? Oh. Yeah. I can't remember. No, I think...
I was bitching about that people the Lotro had gone all solo effectively, and you said, "Oh, people still want that experience. Look at DDO." So
yeah, people are playing DDO with groups of people.
Well, precisely.
And it's popular.
I just don't even think about logging into that to do any solo stuff in that game. It is entirely about hanging out with friends and having just a common dungeon to go crazy rampaging through. You know, so yeah, but
yeah.
It's very much about the group and I suppose essentially the people. I mean, I don't really feel it with my ranger that much. I expect for Arcane Archer with my character there, which supposedly means I'm very good at shooting stuff from afar. And I don't know. It's the sort of variable challenge ratings and difficulties. I don't feel like I'm able to one-hit stuff. I don't feel as powerful as Ed looks in Lotro, you know?
Yeah.
The hunters in there are insane. They do crazy, crazy damage, and I'm often having to tank stuff off of him because of it. But in Lotro, I'm just a guy with a bow, really. And I don't know. I mean, DDO, sorry. Yeah. I don't know if it's the game. Perhaps a lot of this stuff is hidden away in the pay-for content. Perhaps there are some fantastic narrative journeys that we've yet to find.
When you pay money, being all the stories turn on?
Well, maybe. I mean, we're getting to the point where we're starting to run low on free quests.
Uh-oh.
I'm wondering, yeah. Well, I honestly don't mind paying for some decent stories and decent adventures and decent nights out in there, but it's just knowing which ones are the good ones, which ones should I invest in, and then getting the whole group, obviously, needs to pay for the same adventure, or we're all going to end up soloing on TeamSpeak. So, yeah, it's just something strange about DDO that doesn't quite click with me. I'm enjoying it, but not really possibly for the right reasons. I don't know. It's hard to say. And Warhammer Online.
Warhammer Online.
Yeah, I've been playing with their come back and try this endless free trial thing.
Yes.
Quite enjoying that. I mean, I talked a lot about my cheap seats impressions on previous show. I don't know which one. You'd have to listen to them all to find out which one that was. Yeah, still good fun. I thought, because I was very impressed with the open RVR in particular. They're charging around Festumplass and Harvest Shrine, New Emsbrank, the Chaos versus Empire tier one land. Just really quite enjoyed the Zerg combat of charging about. And then also the Disciple of Cain, very good class. I do like the design of that. Basically, it's a front row DPS character that is also the primary healer for the elf race. It's just crazy. You stand at the back, heal until you run out of blood points, and then charge in. And by the time you've wailed on a few people, you're all good to heal again. So very powerful. I often quoted as being overpowered, I hear on the chats and stuff. And I'm enjoying it immensely. And yes, it's all a bit strange, really. Okay, so the free trial, the original free trial, 10-day free trial that I did back in Cheap Seats, that capped at the end of Tier 1. Your character could not gain more XP past rank 10.
Yes.
I think your renown capped at 10 as well.
And that may or may not have been used by people as a way to stay in.
That's precisely what I was looking for. Yeah, you could not physically go through the Whirlies into Tier 2 country or leave the city by the main gate. The inevitable city, you could still go there, but you couldn't go out into tier 4 country on the free trial, which is fair enough. And I just loved the because the problem is when you get to 12 you turn into a chicken in the open RVR places.
They get insta-killed.
Yeah, you get like one hit point, you get killed, and it's all quite humiliating, and you're supposed to bugger off to tier 2 country and participate, fight people your own size, which is fair enough and an interesting mechanic. But
assuming there are people playing.
Well, exactly. But I just wanted to... So I got this endless field trial, and I thought, yeah, that's all right, just, you know, a bit of dashing around New Emsbrank when the mood takes me, that'd be good. And I got to, so I was doing that and quite enjoying that immensely, and then I got to a level 11, I thought, hello, then 12, and then I turned into a chicken, and I thought, hey, what? I shouldn't be able to do this. And then I found that I could actually go off to tier 2, which is good, because now I've seen some keep battles, which I didn't get to see in the free trial, and sort of running around the Ostland troll country, Empire Chaos and foresty area there. Same with the shrines, you know, you capture your flags, but also the big keeps. I'm really enjoying those keep battles, actually. Vaguely worried that I shouldn't be there at all and that something's gone terribly, terribly wrong. And after seeing a lot of the news about Mythic, EA Mythic layoffs and troubles, I thought, well, I don't want to be stealing from the game. So I submitted a bug report about it all, and it said, due to the sensitive nature of your bug report, you need to phone us. So I blinking phone America on my own phone bill.
They have phones in America now,
they do, yes. Yeah. I talked to a nice lady there who explained to me that the Endless Free Trial runs to rank 15.
Okay, so interesting number to choose.
I felt quite stupid there, and I felt a bit foolish. I thanked her for her time, etc., and went back to playing without a care in the world. Experiencing some... I think it's good, because it lets you try some of the Tier 2 stuff.
So what level are you now?
I'm 16 now,
and
something has gone terribly wrong, yeah. If anyone from EA Mythic is listening, you may want to talk to your accounts department, your billing people, because I'm not sure your endless free trial should be endless in that capacity.
And you're sure they're not taking money out of your account?
Well, it seems not, no. I haven't actually given them any billing information ever, so... So playing a lot more of Warhammer than I thought I was going to. I mean, assuming it is 15, I think it's a good move, because it
gets them into
tier 2. Well, it populates tier 2, basically. You still get your tier 1 people all rampaging through and enjoying that part of the game, but tier 2 seems more representative because you've got these keeps in each of the open ORVR areas now, and those are quite interesting. You get to deploy your siege weaponry. You can buy off of camp merchants, like 25 silver a go, and you just plonk one of those cannons or catapults down as required. You get the whole business with blocking the door and breaching the door and trying to kill the keep lord and everything, and it is significantly different and more advanced than what you would see on the tier 1 RVR, which doesn't have keeps, it's just got the flags. Quite enjoying that, so yeah. And yeah, I'm now rank 16, and I don't care. I tried, I phoned up, to try to highlight the problem, but I don't know what's gone on there, but I appear to be playing for free forever, so... Well done, me.
Yeah.
Maybe I feel a bit bad about
maybe
it.
Maybe they're rewarding you for your constant mentioning it on the show.
I don't know. Perhaps I ought to just step up and sub just to resolve the situation. But I honestly don't. I mean, this is MMO number 5 now that I'm regularly playing.
Freak!
I know. And if I were paying $15 a month for all of those, I think I'd be bankrupt quite quickly. So, I don't want to quit any of my other games, so it's all a bit peculiar. Anyway, so still playing that, Disciple of Cain at the moment, although I think I might try some of the other classes as well. Populations are interesting. I started, because this was basically I'm using the account I set up to do the free trial with for the cheap seats.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's confused their systems, I've no idea, but I logged on to my Disciple of Cain that I'd created previously, onto a server where there was basically nothing and no one. It was like all low, 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 low. And I thought, oh dear. It's interesting what they've done with the new player experience now. They've consolidated it all into 2 zones. If you start as a Dark Elf, you will actually appear in Chaos, the Chaos starter area, and presumably the same with the Greenskins. Everyone starts in the same place now, the Empire versus Chaos lands. Which I suppose is good because it consolidates everyone in one place. You get a sense of density, there's more players about.
Yeah.
And you start, because I really enjoyed the Dark Elf start area and the story that ran through there, and I thought it was a massive shame that they've effectively gotten rid of it, but they're all still there, you can still travel across. And also, a new Dark Elf, and presumably a new Greenskin, and also Dwarves and High Elves, you start with an item in your inventory which you can right-click and use, which will basically teleport you to the start of your own campaign, so that you can do it properly as it was. But the tooltip for the item when you mouse over says, warning, you know, using this may take you to an area where there is significantly lower player density. So it's like they've made a bit of an admission, I suppose, that everyone is too spread out. I remember ridiculing them right way, way, way back for not having all 6 capital cities, for deciding only to go with 2 capital cities,
yeah.
And the way the big tier 4 battles
I think I may have done that the same.
Yeah, and to be honest, it's just as well they did, because you do need to focus the conflict in one place. Otherwise, I mean, there's a lot of... I join open war bands for the tier 2, and there's a lot of travelling about as they try and keep all 3 of the pairings flipped onto whichever side. There's a lot more... It seems like Destruction have the upper hand on the server I'm on, although I can't remember the name of the server, sorry. That's probably quite important information. At present, it seems... I don't know, there was a list... I'm on the US... servers. There was a list of about 6 servers. I don't know if more are there but are hidden, or they've closed lots since, or what. And out of those, only 2 have anything higher than low population. There was 2 there that are listed as medium, and apparently the other one, which I think is Gorfang, is dominated by Chaos, by Destruction 4-1, so it can't be that much fun for order players. Although, yeah, you're always going to find a fight, I suppose. Population imbalance seems to be a bit of a problem. I mean, it seems to me over the last sort of week or two that the server I'm on, which will be the other one with population, it seems to have a Destruction upper hand most nights as well. So it's going to be a bit frustrating to be an order player, but then I suppose that's just tier 2. I don't know about the... No, I think even the cities, Altdorf seems to be continually at a state of precariousness and almost being taken over, so... I don't know if they need to tweak incentives, adjust populations that way, try and encourage more people to try order. I don't know. But they've got the problem where you can't just switch sides on the same server. You have to go to a different server to get your order character if you're Destruction. And yes, people will abuse that, but it also preventing people doing that prevents people from abusing it for good, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Back in the days of Planetside, when I was playing that, you got the one server there now, and typically one side would end up with 40% population, and they'd end up steamrolling everyone else. And many players would actually leave that and join the losing side. And yeah, you got this switch sides cooldown timer in plant side rather than it being prevented altogether. But not everyone's going to decide that one side is winning. I want to be on that side, because if it's a game essentially about conflict and PvP, it's not very satisfying just to keep steamrolling over one person with your 35-man warband every 10 minutes.
No.
You want some good fights. You're there for the PvP, the fighting. And one way to naturally balance that, I suppose, would be to allow players to see that this has gone wrong and go and join the losing side. So perhaps removing some of those restrictions may help. I don't know. But yeah, I'm very much enjoying it, and I'm almost not playing the PvE at all. I mean, I poke about in it a bit, but it really is the open RVR that makes it for that game for me, and I'm enjoying it quite a lot. And it seems I'm going to be able to see all of it. Yeah, so I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but I'm anticipating somebody somewhere is going to spot something wrong and I'll end up with a banned account at some point, but oh well. I was only there for the free trial anyway. It's fine, I'll make another account, you know. Yeah, so that's pretty much it. I've been playing a little bit Borderlands. I don't know, the 360's dropped off quite a lot. I seem to have reverted back to my evil, wicked ways. Yeah, I'm playing Borderlands. I've completed the first playthrough, got to the end, found out what the vault was all about and what the Guardian Angel was all about. Yeah, interesting. That's all I'm saying there. There's a hell of a boss fight at the end, though. I just about figured out the choreography of it, though.
It was easy. Stand behind the pillar, shoot the tentacly bits.
Yes.
Same as all of them.
Not as easy as that. There's a little bit more complicated than that, and I'm not going to tell.
Hide behind pillar, throw out gun turret, read book.
And if you're a hunter, it's a little bit more different.
You became a hunter.
You got this throwing eagle that is your special ability, and he really didn't seem to know what to do with this vast boss monstrosity thing. But I got there in the end, and I'm on my second playthrough. My God, that second playthrough's hard. Kill 6 skags, righto! Get it off! They're all coming out as level 38 Uber variants.
Yeah.
It's quite hard work. So yeah, I can see myself playing more of that and actually finishing playthrough 2. Eventually, I think it's going to take some time though.
Well, later this week, in fact, by the time you hear this, the DLC should be out.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that, actually. I'm going to try and stay current with my one game I was playing when everyone else was playing it. You know, my moment of current up-to-date glory. But that's pretty much it for me. Why don't you talk for some...
Okay, what have I played?
Let people know what you've been doing.
I logged into Eve.
Ah, Eve, you're playing... Is that logged in or playing? Did you undock?
I changed the skill. I set one of the freighter skills up to high level.
Their skill training model is genius.
Yeah. Oh, you see, I'm still working towards the beginning of fly every ship that isn't a Titan.
Yeah.
And at this rate, I should have it by, I think it's the 20th of December or something.
Mm.
And then I'm going to have to actually play. Mm. But that's actually, I'm really off the boil on Eve. I don't know. Don't know why I bother.
Well, is Dominion in yet, or coming soon, or
next week?
Next week. So, is that likely to provide anything that will change the way you play or pique your interest? Is it largely all Sovereignty end game stuff?
We're looking at getting in on the Sovereignty changes. So.
Yeah.
So I should probably play a bit more because that sounds a bit more interesting.
Hmm. Yeah.
Then there was Lotro.
Renew some acquaintances. Get back into the swing of it.
There's Lotro, I didn't do anything you haven't talked about.
Well, fair enough.
God, it's brilliant MMOs, isn't it?
Do you not find yourself doing any solo time in there? I mean, my excuse is I'm playing 4 other MMOs.
my excuse is I got to push that button to be able to do it on that computer.
Okay. Can't reach the PC.
Can't be asked to turn the PC off. It's too much effort.
Feeble at best.
If they had a Mac client, then I would have to find another excuse.
Yeah, are they... Would that be a good move for them, do you think?
I think so, yeah. I probably wouldn't use it, but...
Yeah, but there's a Mac client for World of Warcraft. You don't play that either, do
you? There's one for Warhammer as well.
I think you're just rubbish, basically.
I think I don't like MMOs.
Well, there is that, yeah. Which is a bit of a problem for an MMO podcast, but you carry on. You don't mind. Don't mind me.
No, I don't mind you. No, actually, I do mind you. I don't like you at all.
Right.
Yes. And, tomorrow... According to 360 Voice, I will have equaled my longest streak of playing the 363 daily.
Oh, God, tell them about this.
125 days.
You've played your 360 every single day for the last 125 days.
Well, 124 today, but it'll be 125 tomorrow.
Right, okay. There's dedication for you.
I didn't realise I was doing it.
Yeah, Xbox poster child.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I've used the PS3 nearly every day.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
So you're sharing your beneficence equally.
Yes.
All right, so what's all you've been playing on the consoles?
Well, there's Borderlands.
Borderlands, yeah.
Yeah. I've actually stopped at the moment.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've decided to wait for the DLC. All I need is the last couple of levels to get the last achievement.
Then I'm 100% on it. Ding level 51.
Yeah. And I thought, I might as well get that with the DLC.
Okay.
I'm
very pleased at your progress. You're starting to ration yourself a bit
there.
That's definite forward progress.
Yeah, so I'm actually really looking forward to the DLC now.
Oh, fair enough.
I've lost track of how many new playthroughs I've started on that game with other people. Should we have a quick go?
Yeah.
What's everyone's levels?
Oh,
I've got a 17 and a 48. Okay, we'll start at one again.
Yeah, I know. It's just typical of MMOs, isn't it? That's an MMO problem. Yeah. And every time we want to do a bit of co-op Borderlands, the only number character level we all have in common is one. So it's become a sort of routine speed race through the get the medical machine working, get the cars going, you know, all that. Yeah, just littered with mid sort of early teens characters.
Yes.
Abandoned co-op playthroughs.
Yeah.
Yeah. They need more intelligent level party mentoring thing.
They do, yes. I haven't actually played Dragon Age at all.
Really? You're just not in the mood or just been too busy?
Stuff came out and I got distracted.
I'll
end up going back. But
so that's the danger of releasing a 80-hour playthrough game in your schedule.
You're
just not going to have time. And I suspect that may have implications.
It doesn't take 80 hours.
Well, however long.
I've noticed something as well.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of people with a PC are complaining how bastard hard it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's designed for a controller.
Just the game's hard and they keep dying. But I'm not dying that much. So I reckon it's the fancy control method that all the PC players are harping on about, saying it's so great. The ability to go out into the top-down strategy view. I reckon that's getting you all killed, PC players. Don't use it, you'll be a lot more survivable.
Well, that's one theory, and probably the most likely one. The other, more left-ball theory, is that you're just much better than most PC gamers.
I am better than everybody.
Well, it's that, I suppose.
Yes. Yes.
All right, get on with it.
Yep. Actually, I played a bit of Wet, according to this.
your blog says.
I moved on a bit on that.
So this is the one you think is quite underrated.
It's underrated, but not good.
Yeah, fair enough.
They tried to do something.
Yeah.
And what they've tried to do is be Tarantino.
And it just doesn't really come across in video game form.
The game's not that fun. They could have done something great, but I don't know how, which is why I keep playing it.
Okay.
But I got to a bit where I had to wander around, do stuff, and I got lost.
Right.
So I stopped playing that again.
Mm.
Scroll up. I played some GTA.
GTA?
Yes, there's the Ballad of Gay Tony.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Is that one you'd not caught up with? Cause that's not
it only came out a couple of weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
It seems like much earlier. Maybe I'm thinking of the Lost and the Damned.
Yeah, Lost and Damned came out ages ago, but this one came out in October, I think.
Right.
And yeah, so I caught... I finally got to play in that. Yes, it's GTA. How could it not be good?
Excellent. A good strong storytelling through it. Lots of action and
adventure
stuff.
Nice acting, nice set pieces.
Yeah.
The control system still sucks. But
that's a problem with the basic game, isn't it?
Yeah, that was always a problem. Walk too slowly. You're
there's
really
cars everywhere. It's a game about stealing cars, fundamentally.
And the car driving model sucks.
Oh, right.
But once you get used to it, you can do some impressive turn stuff.
Fair enough.
So, sliding around corners.
Worth a download there? It's the
if
DLC,
you don't have it, I'd buy the disc.
Oh, because there's the disc with the two.
Yes, there's a disc with the two of them on that doesn't need GTA 4 to play. But
it's standalone?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, well, that's quite a good move, really.
It is,
You may not have the original game.
But then you probably want to get the original anyway, because the original, all three stories intertwine and you cross over with people.
Okay, that sounds quite clever.
So, yeah... the guy from Lost in the Damned turns up in the main plot
at
one point. Yeah.
Ah.
So, yes, that's actually... it's very enjoyable, and it's a nice one song for that game of GTA.
Right.
Because that should be it for the DLC
now. The Ballad of Gay Tony sort of brings it all to a close, does it?
Yep.
Okay.
And there's a rumour that it may come out on PC.
Ah, fair enough.
But not PS3, because Rockstar hate you. And Microsoft have deep, deep pockets. It's good. I like it. It's everything they do tends to be good, though. So, saying that it isn't good would be more surprising.
It's a consistently high standard.
Yeah. Mm. Also, have we played some Forza 3?
Forza. Yeah,
I forgot to mention that in the last.
Okay. So you successfully drove around a track and
I drove around
some points.
I drove
I'm
around
sorry.
Several tracks.
It's a racing game, isn't it?
Yes, I've started mixing it up. There's brilliant Japanese drifting around corner tracks down mountains. And I've been playing them in the most unsuitable American muscle cars there are.
Comedy run through.
Yeah.
Turning it into Burnout Paradise.
Yes. I was in a 89 Trans Am.
Mm.
Horrible car.
Yeah.
And I was doing really badly. Do you know how I made it be good?
No.
I painted it black.
Does it have a swishy light?
No, I can't animate the swishy light, but I could give it the thing if I wanted, but yeah.
Fair enough.
Then it was fine.
It all worked better. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I was humming the Knight Rider theme all the way down. Yeah.
Excellent.
And then, of course, Modern Warfare came out.
Yes, let's talk about that then.
Yes, Modern Warfare.
Mm.
Yeah, 6 hours to complete.
Yeah.
The plot.
Mm.
I say plot.
Is it a series of very static missions you work through in order, or is there like have they gone like an open city?
No, it's a very linear start here, end there.
Right. Okay.
We have not quite enough exposition between to say what's going on.
Oh, okay. So from a story perspective, it jumps about a bit.
From a storytelling point of view, they haven't done as good a job as they could have.
Mm.
I don't think.
It depends, I suppose, what your expectations are. But even in your most brutal first-person shooter, we've sort of come to expect something of a strong narrative to why you're there and what you're doing.
The original Modern Warfare had a really good story, which in retrospect may not be quite as good as I remember.
Mm.
But this one, it's just they're missing tricks about bridging the missions, saying why and what's going on. They just have a static screen with pictures coming up and voiceovers. They don't have cutscenes.
So it could bridge a bit better.
Yeah.
Because you're not the same protagonist all the way through. You sort of
you switch between it and, quite often you don't survive.
Fair enough.
That breaks the story. It's a bit boring just with missions that end with being shot.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
No, I don't think...
It's difficult to, I suppose, get invested in the story if you keep jumping about between people.
Yeah, you're jumping out. In the first one, you had the Americans and the British.
Yeah.
The Americans screwed everything up and the British put it right. In this, it's the same. If you're an American mission, you're screwed up. If you're playing one of the British, then you're okay.
Mm. Is this something of a ham-fisted political message going in there? Or
I don't think it's a ham-fisted message. It's just a very obvious one, which is obviously true.
I think you're going to alienate a lot of our listeners. I want nothing to do with any of it. Carry on.
Yeah, the plot is silly.
Right.
Nonsensical.
Yeah, I mean, this whole...
Partially the plot from Die Hard 2, if you take out one side of it.
It seems to me that the whole Modern Warfare concept is very much about counterinsurgency and terrorism rather than your straight military engagements. Is that sort of a theme that runs through these?
Not really, because there's some pretty big straight military engagements in this one. There's an awful lot of running around after terrorists and stuff, interestingly, there's a bit where you catch someone and the door in the garage shuts just before you torture them.
Oh, right.
And you have to run off and do stuff.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So let's talk about that level. That level, I'm sure. I don't know if we want to be spoilering it at the moment.
I don't know.
Is it long enough now? At any rate.
I think it's long enough. Mm. We're going to have to... Yeah, so there's going to be some spoilers here.
Okay. Yes. If you don't want to know the result, look away now. Okay,
we'll tell you when you can start listening again.
Yeah, so this basically is the big shock. I don't want to call it comedy level because that's not the right term at all. But in Modern Warfare 1, there was the famous nuclear bomb level.
Yes, which, where you spend a while crawling around in a crashed helicopter hole until the nuclear bomb goes off and kills you all.
Yeah, it's essentially a level that is not really designed to be played normally. It's not a level you can win in the conventional sense.
No.
It purely exists, I suppose, to shock and send a message? I don't even know what that message would be. You know.
It's actually setting up an important plot point for this game.
So but basically trying to drive home perhaps some of the more serious implications of war, the violence of conflict.
And I think they took that and really liked that idea.
That concept seems to have followed across into this sequel.
But they've just gone and done it too much. Like, you die a couple of times because you die at the end of that level. And yes, that was meaningful and quite moving.
Mm.
But in this one, you die at the drop of a hat because it's sort of like maybe they thought, yeah, that was meaningful. Let's do that again.
So does it seem like arbitrary shocks they're dropping in just to, be a bit edgy? Or is this... How justified was that level?
You mean the level in the airport?
We're talking about the airport, yes.
I think it's very justified.
Okay, so yeah, okay. Well, perhaps I'll explain it a bit. Then you're for some unknown. Was there even any lead in? You showed me that level, but I didn't see any of the context or anything previous.
The context was you've been selected by leader guy, military leader guy, because you were good in the last mission, and he sends you in to undercover.
Yeah, so basically you're undercover in this terrorist cell, I suppose, Russian terrorist organisation. And, yeah, you just come out of this lift into a crowded airport, and, yeah, what follows is basically an atrocity, of which you are some sort of participant.
Yes, you're there undercover.
Yeah, and to not break your cover, you at least go along with it, if not take part yourself.
And you can't shoot the Russians because they shoot you back.
Well, this is it. I mean, you made me play it without telling me what was going on, and the first thing I did was try and shoot the guy who's the leader of the terrorists.
I think most people do that.
And then you showed your brother later on and did the same thing. And I wonder how many people also do the same thing. Yeah, my God, this is wrong, you know. And you lose the mission for that.
Yeah.
So and it makes you start again. So you are forced, if you want to continue playing this game, to walk through, essentially, I mean, you know, you can shoot some as well if you like, but whatever happens, you have to walk. Basically, it's a very slow walk through this airport where you're just gunning down hundreds and hundreds of civilians.
Yeah.
A huge number. And I just felt very
exquisitely animated,
deeply uncomfortable by the whole thing, and wondering what possible purpose or justification could this
level serve. Looking from my point of view, I had
there is a twist at the end, and even that, even well, having seen the context of that twist and worked out what that was about, I still just felt like, what was that about? I didn't even want to. Yeah,
I actually had no emotional thing about it at all because. I don't know, I think it's just because it is a computer game.
I suppose perhaps I read too much into it, but it, ultimately it is just pixels. But
yeah.
I just couldn't really see why or the justification behind it. Was it preaching? Was it telling me killing civilians is wrong? Because I already knew
that. An interesting thing about the design of the level is you can't run, you have to walk slowly.
Yes. Yeah. So it overrides your movement speed.
It makes it feel a bit dreamlike. But I think that... I like what they've tried to do with it, but from a plot point of view, which is a big spoiler for level 5, you should have got that far, so by now...
It's quite early on in the game, then.
Yeah. You get to the end, and they know you're undercover, shoot you, and leave you there as proof that the Americans were involved with the atrocity, which the hardline Russian government then uses as the excuse to invade America.
So basically, they set you up.
Yeah.
They use you to set up effectively World War III, isn't
it? Yeah. Now, the problem with that is you are an American operative taking part in an atrocity on Russian soil. You are guilty. It doesn't matter if you're undercover.
They tricked you into being exposed, essentially, and painted you in a bad light. But the point is, yes.
Well, you're not painted in a bad light at all, because all that's happening is you're being shown that there was an American operative taking part in this atrocity. An American was part of this on Russian soil. Mm. Therefore, the whole invasion thing's justified.
Yeah, it seemed... I don't know. I mean, I didn't really... Feel myself drawn that much into the story of it all, perhaps because I was looking at that level out of context.
Later on, there's the Die Hard 2 bit, which explains why it's all like that, which really didn't quite work for me. I probably won't spoil this bit, but there's the explanation as to why you were wanted to get caught, why it was important that you were get caught, comes out later on, which just fell completely.
Yeah, I mean, just playing that level out of context, I mean, just my only go at that game was running through that basically dreamlike walkthrough, as it were, and it just made me really irritated. I mean, for starters, I just felt like I didn't want to be doing that in the first place. It was extremely uncomfortable. And yeah, obviously, you know, it's debatable how much people empathise with on-game computer game events, but it did actually get to me a bit, and it made me quite angry because I looked at this and I thought, oh God, yeah. At one level, it's very deeply unpleasant from a personal level, but also I was thinking, God, the media's going to have a field day with this, and presumably they have.
Yeah,
I just thought this is exactly the kind of stuff, and I don't care how artistic it's being portrayed, it's just stupid and wrong, and I just felt, and then it. Sort of hit me that on an even deeper, you know, even more sort of abstract level is that this is turning me into one of these hysterical, shrieking anti-video game types. I like to think I'm a liberal type, Guardian reading, see all sides of an argument type. And I was looking at this and thinking, God, no, this is just too far, you know. And then I resented the fact that I was being made to feel that video game violence was out of control myself, because I don't want to be one of these shrieking people who knee-jerk reaction against this stuff. And yet it was happening at some level in my mind when I was watching
this. What I would probably have done if I was them is I would have had you as the backup for the undercover guy.
Mm.
And you're in the airport dressed as a civilian, and very early on you get shot by them, scripted.
Mm.
And you just sit there watching it while you're bleeding to death. That would have, I thought, have been a much...
Well, it's the difference between being a spectator and a participant, I think, was the fundamental crux.
There was no need to be a participant in it.
Mm.
And
There was. The way they protected... Yes, you didn't have to do anything about the civilians, but you get to the bit where the riot shield
then you have to shoot the police.
And the NPCs will not do it for you. You have to do that bit.
Yeah, but in the main bit, when you're just running around, all that I felt was, this is a badly designed level, which is basically forcing me through on rails to nothing that I want to do, play something which is actually, you know, not fun.
Was that actually a self-defense mechanism in your own psyche? You were abstracting yourself away from it, in a way.
Well, no, I've played it through several times. Mm. I've shot everyone. I've only shot the injured people.
I imagine it means less and less the more times you play through it, and that in itself is a bit worrying.
But no, it's not extracting away. It's just the fact that you're walking around in slow motion just gunning people down. That's not a fun level.
I felt it was lecturing me stuff. And I got to the end of there and I thought, well, you know, okay, clearly it's trying to teach me something here. What have I learned? That gunning down an airport of civilians is a bad thing?
Quite easy.
I already knew that, thank you.
Yeah.
I just felt like, well, clearly this isn't a game, because this isn't, you know, it was overriding your movement speed. It would artificially end the level if you took the terrorists down, you know, that sort of thing. So because after that there was a level where you were sort of running around the suburbs of Rio or somewhere, going after insurgents or whatever, and that was very much a proper game, you know, the controls, the pace of it, the style of it. I mean, so they've just put this whole level in, which is essentially some kind of interlude, and I just no idea what it was trying to do or how it was supposed to make me feel or what, and it really turned me off to the whole thing, to be honest.
Yeah.
And as a result, I just don't think I'll bother playing it. I'm not going to borrow it or buy it.
Well,
not my thing. And at the same time, I can see technically, in terms of technical game design and execution, it was a very high quality product as a first person shooter.
Yeah.
You know, if they were all space monsters and you were some sort of laser gun toting hero, then it would play through fantastically. But the thematic concerns of it all just really got to me a bit, which is, you know, a bit shameful to admit on a podcast, I suppose. But there you go.
Yeah, and it has the ever present, if you've done something wrong and the police are after you, it's okay to shoot the police because they have guns.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that they're just trying to...
I tend to shy away from contemporary shooters on that basis.
They're just defending the law and you're slaughtering. Yeah, you may not have to shoot any of the civilians, but you have to shoot the police.
Yeah,
I mean, it's okay, they're only Russian.
You put a contemporary infantryman from a modern army on the cover of the box and I probably won't even pick it up. You put some space laser toting superhero on there, then I'll probably give it a look. And dynamically, in terms of gameplay, it may be identical, but it's just, you know, the things, you know, the themes behind it can be quite powerful. Give me a lot of cause for concern, I suppose. I resented being made to feel these kinds of deep philosophical questions from what is essentially entertainment. This is a game. This is something I'm supposed to do to amuse myself in my spare time.
You say that games shouldn't have any deep meaning.
I don't know. I find it uncomfortable when they do, I think, is what I'm saying. And that maybe just be me. I don't know. I'd like something a bit fluffier, frankly.
I don't. I like the fact that they tried something, and I think that it's good that they tried something. Mm. I think they did it in a very cack-handed way.
But you can only chin stroke so far. You can step away from it entirely and, you know, just, you know, chin in hands and go, yes, this is an interesting examination of contemporary morality, but only if you can detach yourself from it, and I couldn't really.
Yeah, but I think everyone's reading too much into this game. It is just a game.
Perhaps.
Nobody shot a airport full of people.
It. Let's put it that way. I didn't enjoy that level. I found it deeply unnerving. And a game is something I would enjoy.
Yeah, but you would play GTA or something and not give a second thought.
To be frank, I don't play GTA either for similar reasons.
Or, you're playing any one of your MMOs. We're just slaughtering through lots of innocent animals or whatever.
Yeah, I suppose. The ball's never done anything to me. But even there, it sounds trite and it sounds made up, but I honestly don't attack non-aggro mobs in MMOs. I just go on by. Unless the quest needs them attacked, of course. But so I'm a bit of a hypocrite as well, I suppose. Yeah. So, yeah. All right. So getting away from the themes of it all, then.
Well, I want to keep going.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, because the entire game is cack-handed. The plot is done to the extreme.
Mm.
It is incredibly stupid. And the twist at the end is just Steven Seagal movie worthy.
Mm.
So
compared to Modern Warfare 1, with you?
Well, Modern Warfare 1 I came away liking, but I suspect if I played it through again, I would notice that that wasn't that good either when it comes down to it.
Yeah, is it a case of, oh, they really liked the shock nuclear bomb level, we better do something even more outrageous this time?
I think that is it.
So not nearly as calculated as we're all reading into it all. It's just, oh, that was cool, let's do something even more cool.
I think so.
Mm.
And they're always trying to top their last bit, and they want to believe that they're being a lot more intelligent about it than they are. You know, that mission's there. Oh, yes, we're going to give people the idea
of... A bit
of,
pretentious.
Oh, it's incredibly pretentious.
Yeah.
In the airport, I think they wanted to give the impression that, you know, these bad guys are bad and will do bad things. But what they actually did was something completely different, because they made you play through it.
Mm, yeah.
Like, if that's what they were trying to tell you, then there were plenty of ways they could have done it without going for the easy, oh, yeah, actually, this would generate us loads of publicity.
Mm, yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, I do have no qualms about the whole shooting people level. For the rest of it, you're in all games, you're shooting innocents. You're shooting the police after that, and that in Drake's progress, you're slaughtering your way past mercenaries or whatever. They all have families and children.
I suppose it's about higher purpose, I suppose. If you can con yourself that these people need to die or something much worse will happen. I don't know, but is that the case in this Modern Warfare level? I don't know.
It all makes sense at the end when the plot twist happens and it explains why you did it. The fact that you were there makes perfect sense.
Mm. I just don't like being made to ask myself these difficult questions when I'm supposed to be relaxing and entertaining myself. And that's, I suppose, perhaps a failing in myself. I can't distance myself enough to appreciate this particular title.
I think if you don't have people pushing the boundaries like this, you end up with exactly what's happening with comedy over here. People can't do edgy comedy because you get people complaining.
Fear of offending people.
And, it's if it continues, it's going to kill good comedy.
Because
it's all about pushing the edge back. And, I wouldn't say they went too far. They misstepped and did it completely wrong. But they didn't push anything too far.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to come across as a slight hysterical, shrieking, knee-jerk reactionary Daily Mail columnist or anything. But this game started to make me feel like one, let's put it that way. For which I resent it even more.
You've only played one level out of context.
I have, that's true.
And the rest
I imagine a lot of these shrieking columnists probably have only seen that level. Yeah. Does the rest of it mitigate or put it into context?
It puts it into context, yes. I don't think it needs to be mitigated.
Mm.
All you're doing for the rest of it, every time you blow up a plane in a flight sim and don't care where that wreckage lands over the city you're flying over.
Oh yeah, you can take this to logical extremes in all games, and to be honest, it would leave you with a very, very small game list of stuff that's okay to play. I mean, those mushrooms have feelings that you're jumping on in Mario.
Yep,
you just killed a mushroom. It's a sentient creature. Yeah, you know. I mean, you can get stupid with it, but where is the line that separates stupid from genuine concerns? It's hard to say. And different for everyone, I think.
It's in the plot writer's office in Infinity Ward's studio.
And somehow this game is the most best-selling game of all time ever.
It's incredibly good.
Yeah. That's a bit that sort of worries me a bit. I don't know. I mean, something like Manhunt or whatever, and hardly anyone bought it, so what was the fuss about? But, yeah, this is something, I don't know, a league different? I don't know.
I really don't understand why people think that, you know, it's lecturing or it's a moral...
I don't know.
Because it's game.
I thought it had to be lecturing because what it was showing me couldn't possibly be it. It couldn't just be it. That's all it is. We're just going to shoot up some civilians their own sake.
But then later
there
on...
There has to be something more.
Yeah, that is made to make sense why it happened.
Yeah. It's all about context.
It happens to ensure... Okay, big spoiler. It happened to ensure that the Russians would invade.
Right.
As revenge for the fact that nothing happened about the nuclear strike in the first game.
I see. Well, maybe. I don't know.
So it was orchestrated by the bad guys to make sure it happened. And the bad guys may not be the bad guys you thought they were, but they were also bad.
Possibly.
Everyone was bad apart from two people, I can tell.
It all left me confused and slightly disturbed, let's put it that way.
But no, I don't think that it's morally corrupting or a bad thing, and I don't think that you should shy away from having levels where you have the option for massacring people, because effectively all games have the options for massacring people, just whether or not they're armed or not.
Well, suffice.
And giving them a gun does not make it okay.
And obviously this is an 18-plus title in the UK.
The Bidding Drakes... in Uncharted 2, where he pulls the guy off the cliff and doesn't care if he lives or dies.
Well, that's
exactly the same.
That's reprehensible as well, yeah.
Or
where do you stop with it?
Or GTA, when you just plow through all the civilians on the side of the road.
Mario mushrooms have feelings too.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't think that... It's no different than any other game. It's just people think it's different because they're looking at it and thinking, oh, actually what they've done is they've sort of shone this big spotlight on it.
Which has made me question certain things.
Yeah. And people have been told that they must find this objectionable.
Oh.
Possibly by their conscience, which is not affecting me.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Okay, yes. Anyway, it's an okay game. If you're only going to play it for the single player, don't bother. It's only 6 hours. Spec Ops is quite good if you've got a friend.
Yeah, have you done the online, the multiplayer?
And I haven't touched the online because I got to the end of the plot and was so disappointed with the... stupid plot twist resolution. Oh look, yes, okay. I haven't bothered playing it again since.
Presumably the multiplayer is quite solid and sound, bit of run around.
Everyone
with guns
seems to
fun.
Love it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Blair. And the last game I played is Assassin's Creed 2.
Oh gosh, yes.
Yes.
Busy time for you, isn't it?
I know. I had another one of stop waving Left 4 Dead 2 at me.
I haven't played it yet.
Assassin's Creed 2. How can I describe it? You know the first one?
Yeah.
You know the...
I borrowed Alfie. Yeah. It's quite
good. You know the repetition?
Yeah.
Gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
In fact, they've gone out of their way to give you stuff to do in this one.
Ah, right.
None of this having to do stupid, you know, pickpocket somebody, bring somebody his meals on wheels, or clean someone's car before you can find out where to do the assassination.
I mean, they were quite interesting activities, but they were reused an awful lot, yeah.
You don't have to do any of that. You just can go in, do the assassination according to the plot and leave.
Right. Still got the same open world type.
Same open world, yeah. Just set in Renaissance Italy. You've got some standout levels. The bit where the Leonardo's flying machine is brilliant fun. Where you're trying to avoid the guys with the flaming arrows that they're firing at you while aiming for the bonfires that your friends have lit to give you enough lift to be able to make it as far as you need to go.
Right.
There's also lots of other side missions you can do. There's assassination side missions, which have nothing to do with the plot. There's a courier missions, there's races, there's lots to do. The collecty stuff is only 100 feathers over all of the cities this time.
Oh, God. There's just so many flags in the last one.
I know, it took me ages.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm going to need to do that because there's two achievements that hang off it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The plot is silly in a... in a Renaissance action film kind of way.
Right. If you can imagine such a thing.
Yeah. And the big twist at the end is twisty.
Good. That's what we like.
Yeah.
I noticed they've added money to this one.
You've got money. Well, you see, you earn money for doing stuff.
Yeah.
And you can use that to do up a villa.
Right.
And the villa will tick over, giving you a certain income as you do it up.
Okay. So you got your own house this time as well.
And you do up the villa and the town.
Ah.
And basically, after a while, after you get that up to a certain point, you get discounts in the shops for buying new equipment, getting your armor repaired, buying medicine and whatnot.
Right.
After a certain point, you build that up and it all becomes nice and shiny and new and nice.
Uh-huh.
And not run down.
Right. So sort of collection gameplay there, I suppose, sort of work on this thing at the side. Because the previous one, you had the big fortress monastery, but it wasn't really yours.
No.
It was just there.
At the start of this one, you lose most of your family and decide to go after revenge. So you go off to meet this relation.
Okay.
And you discover that maybe you are actually an assassin. And you should be assassinating people.
Right.
And so you go on from this big revengey thing.
Does it still do all that animus meta plot thing again?
Okay. Yes.
Fair enough.
We're,
so this is all still genetic memories that you're
It's
examining.
All still genetic memories, yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
You quite quickly escape from the Templars. I've just bought Assassin's Creed 1 for everyone. You quite quickly escape.
And I didn't hear that.
Yeah, sorry. You escape from the place you were in the first one
with
the lady. and I won't say any more about
Fair
that.
Fair enough, yes. Yeah. Okay.
And you go off, and because it is tradition now, every game has to have a British comedian.
Yeah.
When you go there, you've got, what's his name there, and he's there as well.
Okay. What's his name is?
Oh, thingy, his name.
Danny Wallace.
Danny Wallace, yes. he's all 3D'd up and Danny Wallaced with the bushy eyebrows.
Right.
And he does sarcastic voiceovers for some of the database entries.
Excellent.
Yeah.
It seemed more fluid. It seemed, I don't know, the combat seemed a lot easier as well. There wasn't so much of the quick time sword fighting. You're just jumping on people and stabbing them to death.
That's because I was going a bit mad, sort of. Imagine a frog with lily pads, and it says lily pads is a guy that I need to kill. If I'm quick enough, I can sort of bounce from lily pad to lily pad, killing them with the assassin's blade.
There's a lot more florid and lavish assassination moves. That one where you hold both arms out with a dagger.
Yeah, one
in
of the first upgrades you get is the ability to have the retractable dagger on both arms.
Yeah.
Yes, but no, the fights are actually a lot harder. Because there's different enemy types now. There's big armoured guys.
Oh, yeah.
There's...
Because the fighting it seemed quite similar in all cases. Yeah. It was basically a ring of normal guys with swords.
There's two-handed weapons, there's long pole arms and stuff.
Oh, God, that's a bit tricky with a dagger, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you tend to... You've got disarm move,
mm-hmm.
so that if you bear knuckle fighting, they run at you, you can disarm them and then take their gun, their weapon, I mean.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you have a pistol.
A pistol?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, one of the upgrades for your springy wrist-mounted dagger thing is a pistol.
Mm.
Which is quite good, because I was playing that game thinking, what this game needs is a sniper rifle. And I got one.
Oh, God. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
It seemed fluid as well. I mean, I don't know if... Is this remarkable? Is it just engine optimizations or something? Because that's the same hardware that was playing Assassin's 1. And yeah, it seemed even more detailed, even faster.
Yeah, they just refined the thing and done a bit more what's it, and all of a sudden you can do better.
So very much, if you like the first game, you'll like this one.
Even if you didn't like the first one, I think you'll like this one. Hmm. If you didn't like the first one because it was repetitive, this isn't.
Fair enough.
There is no repetitive stuff you have to do. You don't have to build up your house.
So it's all optional.
Okay, you do have extras. To collect all the codex pages, but they're not too hard to do.
Yeah.
It tells you where they are on the map.
Mm-hmm.
And it still has the fabulous having to climb up to the top of the
tallest
bit.
Climb tall things to look around.
To fill in your map, yeah.
That's one of my favourite bits of the first one.
Yes, and there's a lot more jumping into hay barrels now. And they've mixed it up.
Yeah.
Sometimes you jump into water and into leaf piles.
It's just these stacks of hay everywhere. Yeah. Fair enough.
It's incredibly good, and I think I may well have my contender of the game for the year.
Ooh. Yeah. You said that about the last thing you did last time.
What was that?
I can't remember. You've forgotten, that's the point.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to have some serious thought about
that. There's no big new games coming out before the end of the year, I don't think.
Oh, so you've got a bit of a quiet spell now.
There's... Actually, I think that's it for big game releases.
You've got Left 4 Dead 2 there.
I haven't touched it. That's not going to be my game of the year. If I liked Left 4 Dead enough, then it probably would be, but I didn't.
Oh, well, we'll cover that in a future, what we're playing, if you haven't actually played it.
No, it's the box is still sitting there, unopened.
Oh, you got to keep up.
I know. Well, you see, I've got a couple more achievements to get in Assassin's Creed 2, because that's what happens when you start playing it and then end up playing it all night again.
I notice you've just broken 40,000 achievement points.
And I've just broken 40,000 gamer score.
Congratulations.
Yay, Assassin's Creed 2 threw me over.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know what the overall, if you'd bought and completed everything ever... amount is.
I don't
know. How close you are.
I've got no idea.
Yeah, maybe we can find out.
Maybe they don't want to publish that. But you can never get that number now.
No?
No, there are some games which you can
just
no longer get the
anymore.
Multiplayer achievements on.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, Chromehounds goes out in January, I think, and that adds to the list of achievements you can't get.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tragic. Can't be ultra-completist. But, yeah, Assassin's Creed 2, brilliant. Play
good.
It.
Recommendation there, then.
Yeah. I think that's all I played.
Right. Okay, should we do the Twitter question?
Oh, I guess we could.
Yes. Okay, a bit of context for this one. I was surfing idly on a Friday and came across a fantastic item on Amazon, which appeared to be some kind of steering wheel laptop tray designed to clip onto your car's steering wheel. And this Amazon item, so I think I saw it off of thereifixedit.com, which in itself is a fantastic blog of basically photos of really badly put together kludges and fixes. And it was, it was just looking at the customer reviews and the associated customer photographs for this steering wheel laptop tray that was fantastic, where the internet, witty to a man, had all descended on it and basically posted hundreds of pictures of horrific car crashes and some great customer reviews there.
And one or two, oh my God, don't you realise this is how dangerous this is?
There's a couple of customer reviews saying, you shouldn't be stupid, you're not supposed to use it while you're driving. Yes, I think we got that. Anyway, so that got me thinking of peripheral. So the podcast question is, steering wheel laptop tray is not going to make me rich. Tell me your plans for a new gaming peripheral so I can steal them. Yes, we're talking about the Wii add-ons and etc. there. And yeah, I added that with keep it clean, family show. So let's see then. Bevis jumps in there with a small container that dishes out cookies when achievement is earned on Xbox 360.
I definitely agree with this. Microsoft needs to change the 360 so there's two wires coming out the back.
Yeah.
Which, when you get an achievement, they
just sends a signal
current through there, so you can wire it up to anything you want. You can turn a light on, play it, dish out food, whatever.
Yeah.
Have an automated shot pourer.
Every time you get an achievement, take a drink.
Yeah.
Also says, some kind of beard attachment for those not quite blessed as myself in that area to aid dwarf gaming immersion. I don't know, are there any 360 titles where you can be a dwarf? Dragon Age?
There's plenty of dwarves.
Huge beard action there.
Yeah, Dragon Age. Awesome. Yeah.
Fair enough. DM Osborne, a small container that dishes out cookies. Oh, he's retweeting. Yeah, he likes that idea too. Good, good. Dr. Torag, a little nanobot chained to my sound card and microphone that will leap into action at the first sound of silence. Those awkward TeamSpeak silences. Yes, we have our fair share of those. what we got there? DJ Smith, awesome Amazon. Oh, he's just retweeting the link to the...
See, what you did there is you had three things going on at once.
I know, I should shut up about other stuff while our Twitter question's in progress, clearly. Eric's Cho, tough. A rubber USB boxing glove to slap you in the face when your game character gets hit.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Do we not see a force feedback bullet vest of some sort? That was real, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that was real and stupid for the PC.
It sort of buzzes you or something when you get shot.
Yeah.
Let's see, we've got... that's me.
That's you.
Oh, that's the Vampire Morrissey thing. Yes, I won't bother explaining.
It didn't trend.
I'm going to get lucky with a hashtag one day. Yeah. Sentak, Wii Pogo Stick. No? Okay, how about oversized directional keys that you could use with your feet under your desk? That's not a bad idea. A sort of foot-operated gamepad.
Yeah, that could work.
Sort of like your dance mat, but more mapped directly to the controller, I think. Yeah, I would like that one. Melmothulu there. The Piggy Bank DLC AM. Mechanical robot arm that knocks you unconscious at random and steals your loose change. Fully simulates the DLC experience, but at the end of the month you can open it up and see how much you've saved instead.
I think he's had a bad experience with DLC in the last week. I'll have to ask him about that.
That sounds bitter, yes. Kootsnik 2000. 52-inch plasma TV is a nice addition to my gaming peripherals. I think, yes. Can't argue with that.
No.
We got something mistaken. A large red button labelled Smite, Firewire 800 for performance. Rocks fall, everyone dies. I don't get it. we got the Hero of the West, a Guild Wars cape that is pink and has a purple unicorn on it. I know everyone want one. Yes, his guild actually has that. They're our sister guild.
Okay.
She's a new club. That's about it.
Yeah.
Oh, quite a short one, this one. I should perhaps not be quite so obscure in my
And also,
questions.
Yeah, maybe you should post them a bit earlier in the day so people can...
Oh, well, you know, stagger in from lunch on a Friday and slump there and have to rack my brains for something interesting and fascinating to do, talk about. But I shall try harder next week, I promise. So, what did you learn this week?
I learned that in a stand-up fist fight with the Pope, I will win.
And I learned that my Warhammer free trial is infinite in almost every possible sense of the word.
Yes.
So with that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.